Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
First, a word from our sponsor, BrosPod, is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports for this year's NBA playoffs. BetOnline is your sports intel headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your insider sports wagering needs, from basketball, MLB, NHL, golf, to UFC and boxing. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your home. Get into the action today, so head to the website or use your mobile device to join, and be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
All right. Welcome on a beautiful summer day. I don't know if it's summer yet, but a beautiful summer day. We're in the midst of the NBA playoffs, which I must say, Jamal Murphy, is my favorite part of the NBA season. I basically attended. I should not admit this, you know, but I will. Day one of the season for the Knicks, and day one of the season for the Nets. And that was my NBA, you know, because I'm like, there's going to be so much that's going to go on and on and on, you know, meanwhile, the NFL trudges on, you know, one game means everything. But listen, welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm Bill Roden here on a beautiful day in an undisclosed location with my friend and co-host, the great Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's up?
What's going on, Bill? Yes, it's a beautiful day. About time that whatever it is, spring or summer, got here. Because I don't think we have spring anymore. I think it just goes from like winter to summer. Right. It's pretty hot out there
now. It's like growing up in Chicago. You have, summer, 2 days of spring, then winter. Right. Then winter, 1-2 days of spring, then summer.
Right. You know?
Let me say this, Murph. It's good to be doing another podcast, but I must tell you, in the audience, so I listened to your podcast with Chris Walker, Broadcast Hoops.
Yes.
And, of course, you do the Up Next podcast with Khalid. Yes. And I tell you, man, so you have a way of putting pressure on me, because I'm like, Dan, you know, me and you have been doing Rose Pod for a number of years, and then, you know, you're always very diligent, and I'm kind of like lax, and then I look up, and here's another podcast. Podcast. I'm like, damn, man. I better, because because you and Chris do it. I said, wait a minute, did we have Chris on the show? What?
Yep. Hey, and they put pressure on me. They're like, when we do another one, I'm like, oh man, shit, I gotta do something.
But it's all good, man. You know, you become the hardest working person in podcasting. That's hey, brother. That's at your age. And in fact, I spoke to Doc Rivers about this. I was in Philadelphia, not the late Doc Rivers, but the late Doc Rivers in terms of his coaching, being the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. I spent an afternoon with him in Philly after they blown out the Celtics in game 5, and everybody wanted to fire Joe Mazzulla, you know. I drove from Boston to Philly, you know, after game 5. And man, for 3 hours, I was getting pissed off. It was so brutal, man. It was so brutal. He didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He's a novice. He doesn't know he's getting out coached, blah, 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 blah. Get rid of him. And then one guy, and then of course you had Jay Williams. Is that
Yeah, from Duke, the ex-Duke.
Oh, man, he came out and said he's lost the locker room.
Oh, my God.
The players have turned on him. You know, and they wanted to kill him, man. And I brought this up to Doc. You know, I told him, he said, well, of course, man. That's, you know, he's like the sage. He said, man, I've been through that. Of course. You know, if somehow he wins the series, they're going to love him. And I'll probably get fired, you know. So your thought, man, you follow the NBA, you know, what do you think of the series? What do you think of Doc getting fired? That's the news of the day, that we're recording this on a Tuesday and news broke. Doc Rivers has been fired as head coach. And take us through, he's like one of the third casualty, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I get it, right? We all knew it. Your column alluded to it, that this is very much a possibility. If he didn't get it done, get Philly past, you know, what people are saying now is, oh, he had to get him to the Eastern Conference Finals or he was going to get fired. He doesn't get there. So I understand the business of it. You know, he's had a long tenure there. I forget how many years he's been in Philly. But he's been there, you know, probably as long as anybody else besides Popovich in terms of current tenures. But in terms of did he deserve it? No, he didn't deserve to get fired. To me, you alluded to this in the article too. He basically overachieves in the regular season. That's kind of Doc's thing. Like, you know, he overachieves in the regular season. I mean, all they have is Embiid and a bunch of role players. I'm just going to keep it real. Harden is not the Harden.
Harden is a role player. Basically.
Yeah, he's a role player. And then Maury, the GM, kind of tried to sell everybody that, you know, they have two superstars and all these role players. No, they have one superstar and a bunch of role players. Harden is not the same guy he was in Houston. He hasn't been the same since he hurt his hamstring in Brooklyn. Ever since then, he's been, you know, a fringe all-star who's Jamal, inconsistent.
We used to talk about this on the show. I mean, Harden historically failed in the postseason.
Right.
I mean, even when he was supposedly Harden, he had historic collapses in the playoffs.
Right.
And it's just now, with age, it's not about choking. He just can't do it.
That's right. That's why it's almost – I don't even want to come down hard on Harden anymore because it's not fair. Right now, but I don't even count this as one of his playoff failures when he really had his, you know, he had 100% of his ability. Now, he's on the downturn of his career. We see it with everybody. We saw him, Carmelo late with the Knicks. He couldn't, you know, his knees weren't the same. He couldn't finish around the basket. That's kind of what Harden is now. He doesn't have any explosiveness that he had before. So I don't even like to pile on. But it's like they propped him up as a fellow superstar with Embiid, and that's so the fact that Doc was able to get this team to a third seed, you know, fighting for a second seed and a first seed all season, that was a tremendous accomplishment as far as I'm concerned. But then of course you get to the playoffs, things even out. Everybody plays hard. All the stars come to play. So you're not hardly anybody overachieves in the playoffs,
right?
You know,
right.
Because it's up to the stars, and they couldn't get it done. And even that, and they still pushed Boston to seven, which I didn't think would happen before the series. And I'll attribute some of it to Boston. They don't always show up every game, as far as from what I can see. They don't come with that same intensity every game. I think it would have been a 5-6 game series if they did. But, you know, Philly pushes them to seven. To me, that's a success. So I don't think he deserves to get fired. And I don't know what you think. I'm pretty sure he'll get another job. So people still know he can coach.
Well, that's
it's just this NBA. It's this NBA coaching cycle.
Yeah, I mean, you had Bud. Two seasons ago? Bud won a title,
right?
You know, and he's gone. And the person he beat in the finals, Monty Williams. Who, remember, everybody loved Monty Williams.
Last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great coach. He's a great guy. He went through a personal tragedy. You know, blah blah. It was wonderful. Then new ownership change, and it seemed like it was a target on his back from day one. You know, they make this trade for, you know, Durant, who I think, you know, we'll talk about this later in the show in terms of who's emerged and who's stepped back.
Right.
But so you got three coaches get beheaded. Budenholzer gets beheaded, and you made a good point off air before you got on the show. You're listening to what's the guy's name on a NBA radio.
Termini and Johnson.
Termini. You know, and, you know, people, you know, his Budenholzer got fired, I think, when the day or so his brother died. His brother died.
A sudden death in a car crash. It's not even it was expected or anything.
Yeah, then, you know, so how do you break that news? Yeah, you know, Bud, you know, my condolences. By the way, you're fired. You know, well, I mean, and I guess you go into these professions knowing that basically it's kind of like your job. Like anybody's job, it's not your job. You're basically just renting space.
Right.
At any given time, it could be taken away. And I guess it's magnified as a head coach. You know, we were joking about Mazzullo. You know, okay, he survived, and they'll grudgingly give him, and they almost say, well, it's not because he was so good, because Doc was so bad.
Right.
You know, and right. Now they're playing now Miami, and you can hear the narrative already. You know, Spoelstra, you know, best coach in the NBA, you know. And so Mazzullo's in the unenviable position, as you pointed out, that, you know, this time last year, the Celtics were headed to the NBA Finals, right? So if Mazzullo doesn't at least do that, you know, so it's not like he could even be satisfied with getting everything he's doing. You know, well, he's supposed to do that. Of
exactly.
course.
Exactly. And I'm laughing this whole time, man. And, you know, a lot of it is like the media, the 24/7 media, the Twitter. You know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody swears they could coach this team. You know, they could just step in there and push all the right buttons. You know, so Mazzullo, to me, I'm watching Boston. They're doing the same exact thing they did last year. Remember, they played Milwaukee. They lost at home. Game five, I think it was. That forced them to go into Milwaukee and win game six. Everybody's like, why don't they take care of business at home? Then the next series against Miami, they had a closeout game in the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami at home. They lost, and they had to go to Miami and win on the road to get to the finals, right? So Boston has been schizophrenic. Like that's like the personalities of the players on the team. They don't come to play unless they absolutely have to. I noticed that last year watching them. It drove me crazy. And they're just doing the same exact thing now, but Zula stinks. He's doing the exact same thing Ime Udoka did. But right. But he's great. You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And that's what I said in your article. Doc Rivers said it perfectly that, and I didn't even think about it. Like Mazzullo has the toughest job, and he said, Doc said, in the history of the NBA. I mean, he's going to have to win the finals to get any credit.
Any credit at all.
To get a little credit.
Not just get to the finals, but he's got to win the NBA championship for people to say, okay, all right. You've arrived. You're a made man,
right?
You know? Which I don't know. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't know what's more bizarre or existential, that or Ja Morant, because in each case, you've kind of run out of stuff to say. I mean, it is what it is. With Morant, my colleagues at Adscape, Jerry Bembry, wrote a nice column about Morant. But I'm thinking, when you think about what to say, what do you say to a young dude whose parents are basically his employees, you know, and who's made it clear, like probably he's joined other wealthy, privileged people in society, and that's where we are, where wealth has become the highest value, that if you've got money and privilege, there are no consequences. I mean, even with a guy like your boy, POTUS45, being convicted, I mean, being convicted of everything under the sun, of sexual assault. Before that, you know, Alvin Bragg and the whole idea of bringing it. I mean, it's like we're in this era that money, not morality, not ethics, is the highest value. And if you got it, then you're kind of above the law, and you kind of make your own. You make you your own law. You're a law to yourself, you know. So with Ja Morant, you know, he's had this second gun incident. And I think unless the NBA, I know we're kind of going all over the place, but I think unless, remember when it first happened, you know, the NBA head of us, Adam, who I think is, you know, is a good liberal guy, right, you know, responded as good liberal people sometimes do, right, which is not to the benefit of what should really happen to the perpetrator.
Right.
And said, oh, listen, we got a blah, 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 blah. Well, he's going to counseling and, you know, get him a day, you know, clearly that was like laughable. And I right. think unless you suspend this guy for an entire season, unless Nike does not release his shoe, unless Powerade drops him, unless all the money streams begin to dry up, you know, and that's what his parents, you know, all the people who are recipients of this power, when you dry up their money stream, you know, when their money stream dries up and suddenly, you know, they don't get invites to the club and the party, you know, when then maybe they'll start being parents. But at that point, you know, Ja's like, what, 24, 25, you know, and he's got all this guaranteed money coming in. Yeah. I think there's a very long road before he feels any type of – until he feels the cold. So I don't know, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, just how fast he did the exact same – he committed the exact same offense as far as the NBA is concerned is just – astonishing that he would, you know, just a couple months later, he's doing the exact same thing on camera, waving a gun. You know, I don't get it. I mean, I guess I can't remember back to when I was 23, you know, how you know, fragile my mind was. I don't know. I'm trying to give.
We don't want to revisit those.
Yeah, we don't want to revisit that, you know. But yeah, in terms of the punishment, I mean, you could, like you said, you could see, you know, Adam Silver kind of gave him somewhat of a pass the first time. Everything seemed all contrived. His apology, his counseling, like he you know, even the games he was suspended, they allowed either him or the team to do it on their own. Like, oh, Ja's stepping away from the team, and then they included those games that he missed in his suspension. So it was like time served kind of deal. And then, so now, you know, what are they going to do? You know, to me, you know, 20, 25 games seems fair, but you're right. Will that be a real message to him?
What is that? 25 games and you go to Bermuda, you know, right. You know, that's punishment that I don't have to play, you know, I'll go and work. I mean,
you think they got to give him a year or half a year? What?
Well, what do you think gets his attention? And I think that's the thing.
I think half a year would get his attention, or you know, a full year. It seems a little harsh to me because I mean, I know what he's doing is wrong, no question, right? But it's not illegal, right?
Right.
Like the gun laws in Tennessee, that's just fine. Exactly. You know, you can have a gun anywhere you go in Tennessee. You can it can be concealed, not concealed. You can do whatever the hell you want to do.
Right. So,
legally,
right.
Legally, he's fine.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's the NBA, you know, and rightfully, I'm glad the NBA is taking a hard stance here. That's what I think they should do, because we don't need NBA players out here influencing the youth to wave guns around and, you know, any more than what's going on already. So,
right.
You know, right. I hope the NBA takes a hard stance, and I hope it eventually gets to him. So maybe a year, but I just can't see it, because I think he's so, you know, he's valuable to the league, so much talent. He's valuable to the team. They're not going to want to sit him down for a full year. I don't think the NBA is that moral.
No. Well, no, at the end of the day, it's a business, and this is all about optics. And you correctly point out that we're in the midst, he's in a state, and we're at a climate of gun control. I mean, the NRA may pay for his defense, you know.
Because said,
what's wrong? He did nothing wrong. You could bear arms and you could show arms. And by the way, I would imagine that if you did a survey and was able to go into the home of a lot of players, there are a lot of gun collectors.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably a lot of gun collectors among NBA, NFL players who probably have some phenomenal gun collections.
Right.
Because I'm sure they don't talk about it, right. But I'm sure they've got phenomenal gun collections. So in a way, you're talking about this stuff. Now, and the NBA correctly points, well, yeah, you may have grand collections, but keep it to yourself.
Right. Don't wave it on Instagram. Like, give me a break. Yeah. And those guys don't do that. You know, that's the thing, too. Like, you hear people, oh, you know, these young NBA guys, we got to get – but he's the only one doing this.
Right.
You know,
they're
so it's like
caught.
They're not all doing that. You know, at least, you know, they're not all, you know, on camera. You know, and part of the narrative too is, you know, why is he doing this? You know, he came from a pretty, you know, middle class family, went to private school, you know, Murray State. Like, he's kind of, you know, he's kind of just caught up in, you know, whoever he's hanging with, and you know, trying to be something that he's not. That's what most people are saying. So
right. Somebody even pointed out, you know, they're talking about quote unquote rap culture, mm-hmm. and a lot of these guys, you look at Snoop, and a lot of these guys are like billionaires. I mean, you know, right. they talk about that life. They romanticize, but we ain't living that life. I mean,
right.
I mean, apparently Snoop lives in some mansion somewhere. His kids are enrolled in prestigious private schools.
Of course.
It's sort of like, what we do with like Black culture is that you monetize it. Yeah, right. You monetize it, and it's like when the blues, when white people discover the blues, and all of a sudden you had BB, you said you can't sing the blues in an air-conditioned hotel, you know. So, I mean, it's like everything is for sale in this country. Your souls, morality, everything is for sale, and I guess that's what we're seeing. So anyway, but
we'll see what happens in terms of, like you said, we'll see what the punishment really is. We'll see. Nike, to me, that's huge. I mean, the Nike deal is bigger than his NBA contract.
Yeah.
You know, so what does Nike do, if anything? And we saw what they did with Kyrie. But you know, Kyrie was kind of convenient for them. You know, Kyrie's in his 30s now. Right. You know, they were able to segue to the younger guy, Morant. Yes. You know, Morant has many more years to go. Right. Will Nike want to cut bait with him? We'll see. I doubt it.
Well, maybe we'll only release a shoe in Memphis, you know. What about the state of Tennessee? Right, what about that region?
Right. So I mean, I would guess anywhere between like 20 and 40 games. That would be my guess is what happens. Whether it gets to him, I don't know. I was disappointed with his on-court performance, to be honest with you, like maturity wise too. Like same thing. I just think he's immature, and hopefully, you know, he'll improve in that area, because he didn't show up against the Lakers either. And then and then after the series, he's seen laughing after the game. Like, come on, man.
I mean, when you look at Jamal, and I was thinking about this even in general, about it seems to me that the whole player empowerment movement as a thing for – as a militant movement, as a forceful bucking against the establishment is over, is dead. You know, remember a few years ago, we were all talking about the guys were kneeling and Colin Kaepernick and – scribbling Black Lives Matter in the end zone and all that, that's dead, you know? And what's taken its place is almost like complacency. Like, you know, even at a time when a large part of the country, there's this push of war to pushing us back to where we were, back to where white folks feel comfortable, whereas white Christian nation, banning books, taking away voting privileges. But that's not, like George, that's not concrete. It's not George Floyd being murdered on national television, and that becoming social media, viral social media episode. And even the last viral media episode, you had four black cops killing a black guy. Right. And it almost seems like that is not concrete. You know, we have to react to concrete things. White cops killing black, but when you do something subtle where black cops killing a black man and it speaks to a much larger issue, we can't mobilize. We can't have all the players, you know, what can LeBron, so it just seems we're in this malaise where everybody, in other words, we know all this stuff is happening, Roden, the book banning, this and that, but we can't see it. It's not concrete. I'm getting paid, you're getting paid. Life is good, you know.
Right. And I think, you know, it's like it's society and the world we live in, it kind of forces us to do, like we're all caught up in, you know, I gotta worry about me. I gotta make sure I don't go under. I gotta take care of myself and my family, make sure we're good. I don't have time to jump on everybody's issue unless you're like almost shamed into doing so with those big viral moments. So you have no choice but to speak out. But all the little subtle stuff, first of all, half these guys don't have to worry about it. Never had to worry about it. Never had, you know, they didn't have to really take classes in college if they didn't want to.
Right.
You know, they didn't have to read books if they didn't want to, you know. So they don't, you know, why do they even know about it? Why would they even know about it? Why do they even care? And all the subtle stuff is, a lot of it in some areas is done on purpose. I was reading an article the other day in the Times about all the stuff they're doing behind this, all the stuff Republicans are doing behind the scenes subtly to take the vote, you know, to weaken voting rights. You know, they don't want the big splashy stuff where you don't give water to the people in the line or you know, they don't want the splash stuff. They want the little tiny tweaks you can make in the system so nobody notices that you're taking away voting rights and nobody will talk about it.
They know that mobilizes us. It's almost like a strategy. Do not do anything that will mobilize black people. They react really well when their back's against the wall. You know, the George Floyd, this, don't do anything like that. Make it all subtle, make it all, you know, very vaporous, and we'll be fine. Then make sure the right black folks, which they've always had a great way of finding out who to buy off, making sure the right people are bought off, making sure the right black folks are comfortable and are living deliciously, you know, and that's kind of where we are, you know. Like sort of like what Gail's got, the revolution will not be televised. We don't want to put it on TV, right. You know, and it's the revolution, but not what we had in mind. You know, it's almost a counter-revolution to prop up the status quo that does not accrue to our benefit. So I know we started this by talking about basketball and all that, but it just seems to me that, I guess we're talking, John Morant, kind of got us talking about this. Yeah. It's almost it's sort of an existential dilemma, you know, that we're facing as a community. And you're right, Jamal, to point out, it's just him. It's not like this is it's not a known epidemic. Though right. I was talking to some NBA writers, you know, some of the stuff that just goes on, as a matter of course, young guys having a lot of money.
Right.
You know, just, I mean, with the stuff that you don't necessarily hear about because it doesn't rise to the element of a scandal, but it's just like, you know, quietly Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. And the point you made about, you know, I hadn't really thought about it in that way in terms of, you know, getting paid all his money. What incentive does he have to change?
Right.
Really? Yeah. Like, I didn't think about it like that. I'm like, oh, you know, I think about it like, how could he do this again? Like, oh my God, you see the backlash he's getting. So what? He's still, you know, what can happen to him? You know, he's got all this money. He's changed his entire family for forever. You know, with all that money, he can, you know, he can go anywhere he wants on any given day. He can do anything.
Right.
So what's the, you know, what's the real incentive even after this? Like, okay, yeah. You know, I messed up, and you mesh that with immaturity, which all 20-something year olds have to some extent. You know, this is, you know, you might get things like this, but yeah, he's the only one going so far to be caught on social media filming himself doing this stuff or with his friends, you know. But I mean, it does show you that first time he really didn't give a shit at all,
right?
At all.
Right, and it's probably still may not, except the extent that it's. And then, you know, kind of close out this point, I keep thinking about the kid from Georgia, the football player, Jalen Carter, you know, who was involved in his second. He was involved in a reckless driving thing once. They gave him a warning, which, like John Morant, he ignored, and then was doing it again. This time it contributed to the death of a teammate and a young woman, you know, although they have to take responsibility for two, but now he gets drafted and they're going to give him a ton of money, you know, to buy even bigger toys, faster toys, you know, like it was.
Not only that, think about it, right? He his stock fell a little bit, right? He was supposed to be like a 1 or 2 pick. He falls down to 9 and the Eagles are celebrated for trading up and getting him. What a steal. Right. I wonder how do we get this steal?
Right. This is great. But he was driving right. Yeah, but we talked to him and he said he was like Ja, he said he was sorry and blah blah blah. He won't do it again. So here's a ton of money for this 23-year-old guy. So you're right, man. I mean, it's kind of like and I don't know, man. I mean, what would happen to each of them? I mean, you know, you have two sons, you know, Kareem is playing, but what happens if but it's different because you and your wife are like you're fundamentally sound, and his grandmother, both his grandmothers would beat the hell out of both of y'all. You know, but let's just say something happens, and at age, he becomes a tennis prodigy. And at age 19, 20, he's suddenly in to get a contract for like oodles of the money that you have a generational wealth.
Right.
And I guess I'm trying to create a scenario.
Well, hey, I think you just have to pray, right? Because you don't know. Right. Like you could think you're raising your child to the best, you know, best you can, and instilling all these values, and then someone gives him $500 million or whatever. And
he said, "Okay, what, Dad,
what's
Mom,
he, what's he? Yeah, what's he got? What does he need from us?
Set you up. Where would you love to live? Outline your best life. I'll finance it. You know, and if you go for it, you and Grandma, both of them, outline your best life, and you got it. So then you're in a position of, you know, then you're gonna bite the hand to feed you. You're like, you know, listen, you can't." He's like, "All right, do you want me to, you know, take back this island that you live on?"
Exactly. And even not even that. Like, what if you were really still a principled parent? You know, you're like, "Oh no, I'm not going. I don't need the money." He still has $500 million. He doesn't need you. You know, and he's still immature. He's still in his 20s.
Don't do that.
We were all immature. We didn't have millions of dollars to go along with it. You know, right. what it really does is make me, like, you know, talking about how this, you know, it's only John Morant doing this stuff. It does make me have appreciation for the other guys, the other young NBA players who aren't in the news, who aren't getting into trouble, who are doing things the right way and still have that same kind of money.
Right.
You know, you gotta have appreciation. You know, I was upset during the regular season with Zion. Oh, how he's so mature. Can he, you know, avoid gaining weight? Can he, come on, get a chef. Come on, be mature. Like, you know, stay in good shape, blah, blah, blah. And that, now I look at it like, that's his only issue? Okay, whatever.
I know. That's the biggest problem. Well, like you said, and I think you make a great point, Jamal. I think we all have to be mindful of this, that we're talking about one person.
Right.
You know, we're talking about one person who does something incredible. And I guess the reason why we're talking about this one person is that's, you know, you say, well, why? Well, because you're supposed to do the right thing. You know, you're not supposed to do this. Right, you know, you're supposed to stand in line. You know, like everybody's standing in line, and we bring attention to the person who cuts line.
Right.
You know, everybody does not bring an AK, AR-50 assault rifle into the mall. You know, most of us, and I, even with your boy POTUS 45, and to the extent John DeSant, I mean, you know, most people try not to be nasty and evil and offensive. Right. You know, we kind of live in our society by this kind of unwritten rule of civility where we can all be out in public. You know, and it seems like, Jamal, the only place where this is really even now played out is that you go to a ballpark, you know, 45,000 people at an NBA game. And at that, in those arenas, I'm sure we have people who otherwise hate each other. I mean, they're like Republicans, Democrats, independent. You got a lot of white folks cheering for these black, you know, but for those 3 hours, everybody said, okay, cool. We're gonna cheer for the home team, you know. So anyway, Ja Morant. God bless him. Hey, good night and good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck, Ja. Get your act together. Team Morant, his father, come on, man. Do whatever you can. I know it's tough. I know you got all that money. But just try to tell him something. Talk to them.
Dad, get the fuck out of here. This is my house anyway. All right, John. I didn't mean to piss you off, John. Yeah. You want me to text your son? Dad, you, John will ban his dad from the clubs. Said,
yeah, John could ban his dad from front row of the game.
Right.
He can't come anymore. Dad. His dad won't survive that. You know, he wants that attention.
I'm going to put you in general admission, Dad. From now on, you. Oh, no. Do anything you want. Here's a gun. Here. anything but general admission. I got to fly commercial? No! TSA? No, listen, man. Take off your shoe. No. All right, son. You win.
You win. Yeah, I'll film your IG from now on. I'll film you. You can wave whatever guns you want.
I'll be the photographer. Oh my God. Whew. Anyway, yeah, what else?
Anyway, back to the playoffs.
Yeah, back to the playoffs. Oh my God. So what we got? So who do you like? You know, now we go to Jimmy Butler. Yeah, so now back to the playoffs. Now let me ask you a question. Jokic and Embiid, the same guy we were talking about, you know, what's his name? at Sirius NBA Radio.
Germany.
You know, and you've got this whole great white hopeism, you know, and it's kind of like a lot of these guys, kind of like being the right toe of God. You can't put yourself in perspective. You know, you call on these shows, and whenever you're going to bring up kind of racist issue, like, oh, come on, there you go again, playing a race card. But it seems like Jokic, this guy particularly defends Jokic. You know, I mean, it's like really embraced him as an example of how the white guy is not given his just due. You know, as it, by default, a white guy is just by being, particularly being a star whenever a white guy is a star in a league dominated by blacks, whether it's being a running back in the NFL or a star, it gets more. You know, it gets
right.
more.
Right.
You know, and people see. So I think Jokic is, I mean, clearly he's a great player.
Right.
You know, but the problem is that it can't stop there. It can't stop just being a great player. He's got to be the greatest of all time. You know, he's got to be George of the Jungle, master of all beasts, you know, kind of thing. And so to that extent, that's a long-winded way of saying I'll be fascinated to see him in the context of the Lakers, you know, with Anthony. Anyway, what do you think, Jamal? I've got his banned from the airways. What do you
About the series, well, going back to the Jokic Embiid thing, you know, Embiid wins the MVP. A lot of even me, when you look at pure stats, I mean, Jokic's stats are hard to argue. I mean, the guy is like, you know,
you can't argue
points, rebounds, assists is off the charts, right? And is every all percentages and all that. But I didn't want him to get it three times in a row because he hasn't proven to be that type of NBA star yet. And we know that's defined by the playoffs. You know, and what you do in winning championship, at least getting there, you know, at least dragging your team to the, remember LeBron dragged the team to the finals with nobody. Right. So it can be done. If you're that great, you can do that. Right. So I get it. I would have picked Embiid as the MVP too, just because, you know, I can't give it to Jokic three times in a row. Now, if he takes,
you wouldn't be Mark Jackson, of course.
Yeah. And now if he has this, they play it in the Lakers and they make the finals and they get to the final, then next year I'll get off that. I'll be like, oh, okay, I can support
you. As many times as you can.
Right? Yeah, because he showed me he can do it. And this is his test right here. And he's playing against the best defensive player in the league as far as I'm concerned, Anthony Davis, when he plays and he's healthy.
When he's not street clothes.
When he's Anthony Davis, the basketball player, he's the best defensive player I've seen in a long time. I mean, even, you know, people don't even want to go in the paint. You know, they're scared he's going to block the shot. Even he contests three-pointers. He can guard you on the perimeter. You know, he's tough. So I don't know how easy it's going to be. I remember in the bubble, he pretty much shut Jokic down in the bubble a couple years ago. So we'll see what happens this year. It's going to be fascinating. I'm going to go ahead and say Denver in seven, just, you know, because I think it's a toss-up. I don't know what's going to happen here. Denver has the home court. They've had a great season. They look great against the Suns. They shut down Kevin Durant. So maybe they can get it done. And so I'll say Denver in seven. But I want to see a couple of games first to see how this is going to go.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, everybody talks about Jokic's offense, but it's his defense that I think is the thing that could basically wreck the series.
That's true.
You know, if Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis offensively,
right?
You know, it's like in almost any sport, it's not how much punishment you could hand out, but ultimately how much punishment you could take. It's kind of like in life, you know, you could hand out a lot of, you could be a miserable, cruel person, but when the tides turn, how much misery and cruelty can you take?
Right.
You know, and most people can't take a lot. So, right. You know, so the question with Jokic, and I'm sure that they probably will see, how do we protect him? How do we make him not have to play defense? Because we both know that's a blind spot for him.
Right.
You know, that nobody yet has been able to exploit. But I was thinking, well, that's going to be the determining factor. It's not so much, you know, people being afraid to attack Anthony Davis, but can Anthony Davis attack them?
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. And the problem with Anthony Davis, the only problem he's really had in these playoffs is that he's been inconsistent offensively. He's always been there defensively. Every game he brings it. But offensively, you know, he'll have 25 one game, 15 the next, you know. So that, you know, that's a problem. He really has to punish Jokic on the offensive end. Also, you know, when I say he could shutting down Jokic really is a misnomer too, because, you know, you may shut him down scoring, but he's still going to get his assists, probably grab some rebounds. You know, Jokic could bring him out on the perimeter. So that takes him, if he guards Jokic, take him out on the perimeter, and then the lane is wide open.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll be fascinating, you know. And again, given the United States, our polarization, whenever you have a black star and a white star, that's like perfect TV.
I didn't even think about that, too. It's going to turn into, you know, I go and I'm rooting for Denver this series, right? I could see, hypothetically.
I'm surprised, Jamal.
I'm a late.
I thought you were a race man.
That's what I'm saying. I'm rooting for Jokic this series, but I could see a point where it's like 3-3 or 3-2, and I see what the narrative is out there, and I might have to just flip it and go back to the Lakers.
It's too late. By that time, it's too late. You got to state your case now. You can't wait till it's 3. Of course, 3-3. Of course. Yeah, I don't like the way this is getting ready to turn.
Yeah, I don't like this. But so, you know, we'll,
what about
it'll be fascinating.
What about Miami Phoenix? I know we're going to hear about this on broadcast hoops, but Miami and Boston.
Yeah, Miami Boston. I think Boston's a better team. In terms, they have more talent. They have more talent when they come to play from the start, and they put that defensive pressure on teams, and they're like, everybody's involved. I don't think anybody in the East can beat them. But they seem to bring it like every other game. You know, they win a game, they get happy with themselves, and they come out lackadaisical, and then the team's up 15 on them, and until they try to play hard again. And the Heat will take advantage of that at least as much as Philly did. So to me, Boston has to prove it to me that they can, like I'm looking at these first two games in Boston. Now going into it, I'm just expecting Boston not to show up for one of these games. I don't know if it's the first one or the second one, but I could, you know, I see them taking their foot off the gas, and then the Heat, you know, bust their ass one of these games, and then it's a series. So I just have to expect that. I think, you know, it'll probably go 7 again. You know, Boston probably have a chance to close them out, but won't do it. You know, that's the way I see it going. But I think in the end, they have too much talent for the Heat, and they'll probably get it done like they did last year. And I'll just say, you know, Spoelstra, great coach. We were talking about coaches and their reputations and all that kind of stuff. What, you know, everybody's on this, Spoelstra is one of the greatest, you know, greatest coaches in the game, top three, whatever. But remember, they had a terrible regular season.
Right, terrible.
Imagine they would have lost in the first round. What would they have been saying about Spoelstra?
I'm sure that if for some reason, and I think what would be, since we're kind of talking about Joe Mazzulla, if they would just crush Miami, I mean, just literally crush them.
Yeah.
And go and win the first two games convincingly, win one of two games.
Right.
In Miami, right. And then come back and close it out.
Oh yeah, then I'll get. You know, then he'll get credit.
Then I said, "Well, I don't know."
for me, I'll be. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now you got him playing. That's what I'll say.
Right.
He got him playing. Like no lapses. I don't want, because that's what they're known for. I mean, they did the exact same thing last year. Still made the final, and lost in the final. They couldn't play that with Golden State. But. You know, I mean, we'll see. That's what I'm really looking for Boston in order to be impressed. I got to see them every game come with it. I don't want to see these take a game off here. Oh, you're back home in Boston Garden. You feel comfortable. We're just going to win because we're home. That's how you look when you come out. It doesn't work like that.
And before we get to the last, then our best finals outcome, I guess, would be Boston LA.
Yeah,
that would. I mean, I know, you know, Denver. I think the NBA. In terms of ratings, they probably just like be a nightmare if it was somehow Denver and Miami.
Oh,
like,
I might not even watch
please
that.
Please, God, no.
Yeah, I might. Please, I might miss. I might not watch all those games. I'll tell you that right now. Denver.
No, please no. You know, the best would be LeBron and Anthony Davis against Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and two first year head coaches, brothers. You know.
Yeah. That'd be great. That would actually be great. You know, it's
Donovan Ham and Joe Mazzulla.
It's funny because I've been rooting against the Lakers because I've been picking against them. So I've been rooting against the Lakers. But them winning is good for business. I'll tell you that much.
No, it'd be great for business. It'd be great. Everybody would go to the beach. You know, everybody would go to the beach. So, let's pull for that. We're journalists. That's kind of what we do.
You want the story.
Really pulling for the story.
You want the story. You know? You want the story.
We don't want Denver, Miami.
No way. No, I don't want that.
Last but not least, we talked about so far in two rounds, whose reputation has been enhanced so far in these first two rounds, and whose reputation has taken a hit so far in these two rounds, player or coach?
All right, well, enhanced, I just got some names. I'll throw out some names. Butler, Jimmy Butler. People, you know, Miami fans comparing him to Michael Jordan now. Jason Tatum, even though it didn't look like it was going to be that way early in the playoffs, I mean, the way he came back that game six after playing terribly and then lighting it up in the last, like, 5 minutes of the game, and then the next game he scores 51. So I say Tatum. I say Darvin Ham has enhanced his reputation. He was getting killed during the regular season. Oh, you know, is he really coaching? He doesn't do anything. He just stands there with his hands in his pockets. Now all of a sudden he's looking like a great coach making great adjustments. You know, everybody, look at the adjustments he made at halftime. You know, so his reputation has been enhanced. Jokic, we just talked about that. Has been enhanced. Spoelstra, because of that ugly regular season he had, and now everybody's talking about he could never be questioned. He's a top three coach. Diminished. Philadelphia. We'll start in Philadelphia. Embiid and Harden both diminished. Harden more so, but Embiid, you know, he didn't show up like a so-called superstar is supposed to. Julius Randle in New York. There've been some people on the couch who have been able to critique his, you know, take, you know, watch video and critique his defensive effort has been putrid, you know, in the playoffs, not closing out on guys, just walking around. It's been terrible. Didn't do much offensively. How about this one? Jordan Poole has been terrible. He's got people on national TV saying, now I understand why Draymond punched him. So that's not good.
I know a lot of people, everybody tries to see how to delicately say that.
Exactly.
The more you look at Poole, the more you side with Draymond. Yeah,
exactly. So it's not looking good for him. Klay Thompson, I mean, I never saw him have a worse series than he had, you know, missing open shots. He just seemed like he lost his confidence, so that was terrible. Steve Kerr, I have a question mark. I mean, do we blame him at all for what happened to Golden State? I'm not sure. And then over in Phoenix, and I think you mentioned this, KD. He was supposed to go over to Phoenix, and it was, and I even thought it'd be a done deal. He's going to take him at least to the finals, and you know they got all this firepower. I know Chris Paul got hurt, but Kevin Durant didn't play well in those playoff games against Denver. He looked ordinary at times. And then, you know, this is a guy who he's basically like a hired gun. You know, he's treating himself like a hired gun now. For a super, you know, we're used to superstars like going to a team and you build around me. He's just hopping on a team. He leaves Brooklyn, right? He leaves Brooklyn to go to a team and loses in the second round. You could have done that in Brooklyn. Right. You could have stayed in Brooklyn and lost in the first round and have them build around you next year. Like, what, I don't understand that. And then his teammate DeAndre Ayton has been a complete no-show, probably going to get traded. So those are my guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all those are good picks. I'd agree with every one of them. Your Butler, obviously, because, you know, he always does that.
He does.
Clearly Tatum, although I think Jaylen Brown has made it possible for Tatum to like flounder for a while. And then Jaylen Brown will keep them steady enough.
Yes.
So that when Tatum finally wakes up, you know, they're in position to win.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think subtly his thing, enhanced. Yeah, Darvin Ham. I like Darvin Ham. To an extent, Joe Mazzulla, though, as we put it, he's in a no-win situation. That if they don't get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, he's just doing what people say he's supposed to do so far.
Right? He's holding serve.
You know, he's hanging on. He got us to the Eastern Conference Finals. Fine. We're supposed to be there, you know?
Right. And then diminished. Devin Booker was almost at the point of being enhanced. I mean, I would almost put him in those things. And people realize how valuable Booker. I mean, he's gone from being as a rookie that all he does is score,
right,
to being just a great player.
No, yeah, no question.
So he's becoming, and then in terms of losing your reputation taking a hit, I agree with you. I would even say almost enhanced with Anthony Davis.
I forgot about him.
Almost enhanced with Anthony Davis.
I think he's enhanced at this point.
Yeah, take people. He gets so much of a hit, man. From Charles Barkley calling him street clothes, like him really showing when he plays like an engine, they're basically unstoppable. Oh, and then the other guy, what's the guy's name? Speaking of great white hopes, on the Lakers.
Oh, Reeves, Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves. You know, almost like Reeves, the Superman character.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, that's like another tier of enhanced.
Yeah.
But losing a reputation, I agree with you, Durant. I think people who defended him for leaving OKC and going to war and then going – I think people defended him kind of like people who defended Ja Morant. And like, you know, maybe we're a little quick there, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that Morant has to be very, very careful with his legacy there. Who else? Well, Ja Morant. I think his whole thing is taking a serious hit. He may not care yet because I think he's not aware yet because, you know, he's young and blinded by the money that when you lose your reputation, when people begin to lose faith in you, and the only reason they like you is like, what is it, Billie Holiday's famous record? God Bless a Child That's Got His Own. When spending ends, money, you've got lots of friends crowding around your door. But when money's gone and spending ends, they don't come back no more.
Right.
You know, so right now I think he's blinded by all the things that money could do, the friends, even people taking up for him, all that. But there will invariably come a point in your life, you know, where that's not the case anymore. He's a long way away from that, but it will invariably come.
Right.
And it probably is only a feeling that when you got all the trappings, but you're still not happy, you know, like he's a long way away from that. And at 23 or 4, he probably can't see that day coming, but you know, he's better get his act together.
Yeah. I wonder about Ja Morant. So like, you know, let's say this never happens again. Like, I'm just wondering what kind of hit, long-term hit you think he's taking regardless of what happens. Let's say he gets suspended 20 to 40 games and we know, and he stops doing that stuff. I think we'll get back on the bandwagon.
All you
got to
do is win, Jamal.
Yeah,
that's true. To have him on our show. All you got to do is win, and then our story will be redemption. You know, we right. got a vault of stains that we can just pull out. Let's do the redemption card. Let's, you know,
that's funny. Winning really is the key, no matter what. Like, you know,
he can do anything.
Great player, even Jokic. Like, you could have all the stats in the world. You could be one of the best players we've ever seen in life. But if you don't win,
you're gonna get killed.
Yep.
So to answer your question, if in 3 years he's brought whatever team he's back to like the NBA Finals, all this will be like a hazy memory. You know, like, did that really happen? I remember it's kind of so long ago. So anyway, and of course, Jamal, the person who's been enhanced is you. You've been enhanced during these playoffs. You know, you've weathered the Knicks thing. You've come up with your integrity intact because you dropped them like a hot potato.
Yeah, I thought I was only rooting for them against the Heat. That was it.
Yeah,
it brought back bad memories, bad Heat Knicks memories.
Yeah, no, I gotta say, man. Well, I will not say because I do want to get credentials from the Knicks next year.
They're an actual team now.
Yeah. So we'll see. Anyway, listen, man, it's been great doing pop. Hopefully, we'll do something. We say this every time, more regularly. But it's been great being connected. Great storylines, Doc. Good luck. I guess the question is, Doc's history has been he's not been out of work long. Whether it was he got fired at Orlando. Spent 1 year in the broadcast booth, hired by Boston. won a title in Boston, then when stuff got rocky, the Clippers made a trade for him.
Yeah.
He made a trade for him. Took him. You know, that's the thing. You can look at, he set a record for the historically, no coach in NBA history has been more 3-1, blown more 3-1 leads. But right. If you're a team in shatters, you look at it, well, wait a minute. He took them to 3-1. He took right. he took these teams out of the ashes and took three teams to 3-1. Fine, you know, so maybe we'll bargain with that. We'll gamble.
Yeah, that means you know something. He lost, you know, twice as many seven games as the next coach, which is Riley, right? So it means that you got there. That means you were good enough to get there, like you said. And the funny thing about this whole coaching thing is, all these guys getting fired, and they're all in the mix for the other jobs who fired their coaches, you know. So I guess it's just, you know, losing the team's ear or whatever. But all these coaches are just going to swap positions,
right?
And be right. back at it.
Yeah. So good luck to Doc. Good luck to Bud. Good luck to Monty. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
And basically, good luck to us. At the end of the day, it all boils down to us and our loyal listeners.
Yes. Yes. So I guess we're rooting for Lakers, Boston.
Lakers, Boston. No question about it. That's best for us. Everybody will go to the beach.
Yep.
All right, Jamal. Listen, man, everybody be careful out there. Whatever new strains are out there, but be careful. Continue to keep the faith and have faith. And, God bless. See you next week.
For listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.